Soap Opera, right?
Yeah.
Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers, you ready?
Oh, always.
Let's get this party started.
That's when you kick that beat in. It just does something to me. It takes control of my body.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
Your time is up. My time is now. You can't see me. My time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me. My time is now.
I forgot or fell off. I'm still hot. Knock your shell off.
I was just making sure you guys are awake, because sometimes y'all come in like, yeah, what up? I'm like, what up, fellas? No, all right, America, welcome, of course, to Talking Sports on the 12th Man on this Wednesday, October the 7th. two weeks ago. But now we are officially ready to go. Man, guys, man, what a fantastic day. We are ready to talk some sports. Without further ado, two guys that are not blowing any calls, they are officially on it, as always. Mm-hmm. I like to check in with my crew. First and foremost, Mr. JQ, Jaquan Jenkins, how you doing this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm living the dream. Ready to get this show started. How you doing, Dre?
Man, living the dream. Hey, man, another day in paradise is what I got to say, so how about that? And then I got to check in with my other guy, hailing from New Orleans, getting a lot of gumbo and all that good jazz. Mr. Robford, how you doing this evening, sir?
Gumbo, jambalaya, a little crawfish, etouffee, some hickory grill, redfish. What you want?
Oh.
Doing good, fella. Like that.
Y'all doing to us like that.
Hitting y'all hard.
Y'all about to drop
doing good. Morning. Ready to get this
like
party
it.
Started.
That's what it's all about. America, we are ready to go. First and foremost, for those that want to tune in, give us a call, check in with us. We have a couple ways to reach us. First and foremost, we are available. You check us out on Twitter, go to the number at the number 12, then THMAN Sports. You'll find us on Twitter. We're also available in the Facebook world. If you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you put in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us. And then finally, reach out to us. Holler at your boys, 424-243-9519. That is the number, and we are ready to get this party started. So, as we mentioned, guys, man, Rob, I got to give you some love, sir. You definitely tried to pack it in for this week. So let's kind of kick it off first and foremost. We'll see if we can get through all these topics. First and foremost, let's kick it off. We had the Major League playoffs are actually happening right now. A lot of play-in games. Well, not play-in, I guess you want to call those little one-game playoffs. And pretty exciting baseball, to say the least. And Rob, I guess you want to kick us off with that, start off with what's happening in Major League, and I'll kick it to you, JQ, right after him. So go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, Jake Arrieta, I just tell you, just shut out the Pittsburgh Pirates here 4-0. Now they'll move on to face the Cardinals. I tell you, that's one of the baseball's biggest rivalries, so that should be one of the exciting series to watch here in the divisional round of the baseball playoffs. It's one that I'm most looking forward to. And, of course, the one that hurts is my Yankees got eliminated last night. The Astros also shut out the Yankees. So we had two shutouts, two road victories for the Astros and the Cubs moving on. So the Astros will move on to face the Royals here in the next round. So we're starting to heat up the divisional rounds on tomorrow. Should be a lot of fun. And like I said, I'm very interested in seeing that Cubs team go against the Cardinals. The Cubs play very well here toward the end of the season. It's one of the series that I'm looking forward to watching.
JQ, any thoughts about this, sir?
Yeah, I wish that series could end in a 0-0 tie because I don't want any one of those teams to succeed. So I'm probably going to fight a whole lot of Cubs, Cardinals for my own personal reasons. But the one I'm looking at, I like Houston and Kansas City. It just gives you that old-time 80s, early 90s kind of feel to it. But the one I'm really looking at is the Mets and the Dodgers. I mean, two, you know, big markets going at it. And you got Greinke and Kershaw versus DeGrom and Syndergaard and Matt Harvey and Cologne. I mean, if they score more than six runs or seven runs combined in those first couple of games, I'd be surprised. I'm really looking forward to that one. It's not going to be sexy to the viewer, but if you like baseball and the nuances, and especially if you like good pitching, I think that's the one you want to tune into.
Let me ask you this. Clayton Kershaw, obviously one of the best regular season pitchers here in baseball the last few years. The last 2 years in the postseason, he's been 0-4 with an ERA of over 7. Do you think this is the year he gets it done?
But I think that's part of why I want to watch it so much is the drama of can he overcome the hump, because we've seen him, like you said, in the regular season, Cy Young,
dominate,
you know, magnificent,
yeah.
And then it just falls apart in the playoffs. So I'm wondering if he can keep up his end of the bargain, because you're looking at Greinke, who was having a Cy Young year, and I think he's going to win it probably in the National League. And then they got Alex Wood as a third, you know, starter. I mean, I love the Dodgers lineup. I just don't know if he can overcome that. And that's why I'm so excited about watching it. I just think it's going to be a really exciting series for the nuances in the pitching in baseball. Now, if it gets out of hand with runs, I still think LA can outscore the Mets, but I love that Mets rotation. I do. They're going to have a hard time figuring out who to start in games 1, 2, and 3, because somebody is going to get left out. And out of those four, who do you leave out?
It's going to be fun to watch, people. Stay tuned to baseball playoffs. We'll be keeping you updated, and we'll be talking more about it on next week's show as well.
Yeah, good calls, fellas, and I like the fact that we're able to kind of definitely dive into baseball. We're very well-rounded on talking sports with 12 men. So, yeah, some good matchups, guys. As you mentioned, Rob, the Cubs, kind of curious to see them. Definitely some good play. And I apologize about your Yankees, sir, but it is good to see a little fresh blood, man. So that's my little
I don't think you're too sorry.
Too, man. So. Well, I'm not too sorry. I was going to tell you. I think all of us, I got to say, all of us are pretty happy because all of our teams won as far as for the pro team. So I figure we all be in a good mood, man. So, you know, I mean, I'm just saying just on that front. But I think it is good to have some fresh blood every now and then, too. I mean, obviously, you know, the Yankees have been the dynasty. Rob, no offense, nobody's crying for you. But it is good to kind of see some fresh blood. That's all I was going to intimate, man. That's all. That's what it is, man.
Yeah.
I love it.
There's still going to be some exciting baseball. I think, as JQ mentioned, I think the Dodgers and the Mets are going to be an exciting series. And also, I'm kind of looking forward to the Cardinals and Cubs. I think, you know, those are two great series to look forward to. I think I'm a little bit more excited more about the National League series. Not to say I'm not going to watch the American League, but I think those two matchups in the National League are more appealing to me.
I think they're throwing to most people. I know Major League Baseball is probably doing a cartwheel.
Absolutely.
They are. Fellas, I'm trying to figure out if what's happening with the Seahawks. Do they have some type of person, pitchers, or some refs or something like that? Because this is the second year they've had some controversy. They had some controversy with the replacement refs in Green Bay. And then all of a sudden, some more stuff here for the previous game. But we're going to segue right back into the Seahawks at JQ's Bengals. This is a pretty big game. So, JQ, I'm going to let you have the stage, man. What's your prediction on this particular game? Are they still on a Rocky Mountain High? Well, not Rocky Mountain High, but that's a bad choice of words there. But, yeah, what's your thoughts about this particular game? I was thinking about trying to connect Detroit and Lions, but it didn't really work. But anyway, carry on, sir. What do you think about this matchup, sir?
So, I got to take my fan hat off and put my analyst hat on. And this, for real, is one of the biggest games the Bengals have played probably the last couple of years. All the Steelers games are pretty big, but I put this one up right next to that Monday night of last year against Denver, because they, even though this is at 1 o'clock, and I'm glad it's at 1 o'clock because that means we'll probably get good Andy Dalton. But I think the league is looking at this game. The upstart Bengals against the powerhouse and the Seahawks, they're getting Cam back. Will they get Marshawn Lynch back? Russell's got his money. He's trying to prove it, but the offensive line is a little shaky. But I just think that Seattle, with Cam, starting to find that identity back on defense. And you saw that. And just that play he made on Calvin Johnson, even if the refs blew it, the fact that he even put them in that position to have to make a decision was remarkable. So I think it's a low-scoring game, and it's going to be, you know, not too many big plays. I'm going to take Seattle by 3.
Wow, JQ, okay. You definitely put your analyst hat on there. So, Rob, is JQ a little off on this? Is this going to be a slobber knocker, or what do you think is going to happen in this particular game, sir?
Well, I think one thing I do agree on, I think it's going to be a very close game. I think it's going to be a very physical football game. I think it's going to be two hard-nosed football teams. I think Seattle started the season off slow last year. So, it's for those people that are writing Seattle off, I think that's a little bit too fast. I still think they're a playoff team before it's all said and done. You know, this time last year, they were like 2-2 as well, if I'm not mistaken. And so they started off slow. But I like Cincinnati at home in this game. I really do. I think offensively, I think Cincinnati is more capable of putting up more points. than Seattle is on Cincinnati's defense, and I think that's going to be the difference. But I do think it's still going to be a very close football game, an intense football game. I just think Cincinnati is a little bit more healthy, and they're going to have more weapons to put some points on the board offensively.
And I agree with that. The reason why I take Seattle by three is because being a Big Eagles fan and being up close to it, they find a way to lose games when they play a good team. When you feel like they have the talent to maybe beat them by three or seven, they find a way to lose that game by three or seven. So I'm putting their history against a powerhouse team on the line. Now, granted, I'm glad it's in Cincinnati and not Seattle because they probably lose by 10 in Seattle. But they can win in Cincinnati, but everything they've done to date in the Marvin Lewis, you know, Andy Dalton regime doesn't give them a lot of credibility to win a big game.
So what you're trying to say is Marvin Lewis can't win the big game just like Mark Richt can't win the big game in Georgia, huh?
I didn't try to say it. I said it.
Moving right along.
Well, just like that blunder, we're going to move right along. We're going to keep it moving.
And as Andre would always say, Bob Stoops can't win the big game in Oklahoma either, huh?
No, he cannot. People I do not trust. They look good, like a strobe light, honey. Look good to you. To you, we'll open up the strobe light on them. All right,
they turn that light out for us. They turn the lights on.
Yeah, I know. So, just real quick, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this blunder, guys.
Sorry, Georgia fans.
I know we got
a lot of Bulldog fans that will listen to our show, but
they're already on suicide watch, Rob. Yeah, they know.
They already know.
Yeah, if you're. Let's talk about this really quickly. They just thought they were going to beat Alabama. Hey, really quickly, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this blunder thing, but just if you can kind of just really quickly just talk about, you know, I don't know, Rob, is this something that do we blame the refs? I mean, what's the deal? Just really quickly about this. I don't want to spend too much time on this.
Yeah, I agree. We got a lot we're going to try to cover. I think it's just one of those strange plays that you're probably going to see once every 20 years. And I think the referees just, you know, probably just not used to seeing it. And, you know, that's probably one of those plays is on the, you know, on a page 300 of the rule book or something like that. Obviously, the ref's supposed to know it. And it was a bad call, but I think 90% of even fans that watch the game are not familiar with that rule, so I think it was the call did hurt the Detroit Lions, and it is a bad call, but I'm not going to put too much on the refs. I mean, bottom line is Calvin Johnson shouldn't have fumbled the ball. They would have got a three-quarter touchdown practically, and so I still think the Lions. I still think the Lions should be blaming themselves and not the refs. You never put the games in the refs' hands.
Yeah, JQ, I'm going to get this over to you, man, because it seems like for some reason Seahawks are getting the better end and the Lions are getting the shaft, man. They've been shafted two times, it feels like, especially in the playoffs versus the Cowboys.
There's something about the Seahawks on Monday night. They always get a call to go their way, huh?
Yeah, it just seems like I don't know.
Yeah, and I agree with that last point that Rob made, that you take all this out of the ref's hands if Calvin holds on to the ball. But that being said, I don't know if you saw the tweet the other day from Calvin from New England that said, we practice that play at least once a week. So if they're practicing it and you are a ref, think about all the auditions and all the cutdowns you had to go through to become a ref. I don't care if it's 5,000 pages in the book. You sitting right there watching it, and you saw him almost throw the flag and then not throw it. So I have a problem with them missing that, because this is your job. If me and you miss something we're supposed to know at our job, no matter how obsolete it is, we would get in trouble for it. So it's the same thing. Yep. And then you have the retired official come on right at the end of the game and say, oh, no, this is on page such and such. Oh, you got to make that call. You have to understand the rules if you're going to be a ref. So I'll put 25% on the ref. I'll put 75% on Calvin, because if he holds on to the ball, we're not even having this conversation.
Absolutely.
Good call, and I got to see. I was going to tell you, too, I think the Patriots know about that rule because Bill Belichick knows everything, apparently. But
being prepared, and there's nothing wrong with being prepared as long as you ain't cheating in your preparation. But if you know the rules, you're being prepared, then you're exhausting everything you're supposed to do as a head coach. And I would give him respect for that, for knowing the rules and having them practice that, because he didn't tweet that. His player tweeted it.
Absolutely. Well, I've said this numerous times. You can say what you want about Bill Belichick, but he's still the best in the business.
Yes, sir.
Hands down.
Well, Yeah, I heard that. I heard that, JQ. And I got to say, guys, too, maybe the refs trying to throw us off by throwing so many flags and they're, you know, trying to, like, distract us or something like that. I don't know. Hey, let's keep moving here. So in London, something happened that was pretty interesting in that Joe Philbin is no longer the coach of the Dolphins. Can't say that we didn't see that coming. And we're going to ask if Dan Campbell can fix the Dolphins problem. And I guess I'm going to throw another question too, guys. Do we think it's 1 year too late? So I'm going to throw that to you, JQ. Do you think a situation, you know, Dan, can he fix the Dolphins? And I guess we'll talk about, Rob, think about, I guess, a coach that can be someone that the Dolphins are targeting here. But, yeah, can he fix the Dolphins right now?
Well, I tell you what, I like the fact that he instituted the Oklahoma drill this week in practice, even though they're on the bye, to make sure he got their attention. So it can't hurt. And I would say that, yes, they are a year too late from your original question. They knew that he was not the guy last year, and they tried to give him another chance. And he and Coyle, the defensive coordinator, are not making good use of the weapons they have in Miami. So, yes, I agree on both of your points.
Rob Ford, so yes, sir, on you, sir.
Well, yeah, I think the Dolphins are one of the biggest disappointments in the league this year. I think JQ and myself, when we did our preseason coverage, we both thought very highly of the Dolphins going into the season. And we both thought they were, you know, not quite going to challenge. I mean, we thought they had a chance to challenge the Patriots for the division. So they're making both of us look pretty bad. And if you look at their roster, you think that the talent was there. You thought Tannehill was going to turn the corner this season. You thought the defense was going to set them apart as well. So I'm never a huge fan of midseason firings. But obviously the Dolphins they're one of the more disappointing teams. And I agree with JQ. I think Dan Campbell is trying to bring some more toughness and change the mentality of their team. So, you know, I'm willing to see what he can do. And as far as to him possibly keeping the head coaching job, I think if he can turn it around, I think they should definitely consider him as a candidate going forward. But as far as who could be the full-time head coach, I guess we'll have to see who comes available by the end of the season.
Good calls, gentlemen. MVP through the first 4 weeks. What are your thoughts about this, Rob?
I'm going to go 1A and 1B. I'm going to be Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Both of their teams are 4-0. Both of them are, well, the Patriots are 3-0. They had a bye, but I'm going to give it to those two guys for the time being in a tie, if you will. I think they've been very impressive as far as controlling the game plans and the tempo, and both of them have been outstanding so far this season. So I would give it to Brady and Aaron Rodgers thus far.
JQ, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit off the beaten path with that because I can't argue with those two choices because, I mean, they're two fabulous choices. But when I was thinking about this, I wanted to say if I took this person off their team, still have a win, would they be 1-3? And I feel like with Rodgers and Brady, the systems they have, the coaches that they have, the culture that they have, that they would still want a game, maybe even want, you know, in Green Bay's case, 2-2, and in New England's case, maybe 1-2 or 2-1. But I'm going to go with Cam Newton for the Panthers, and his stats aren't sexy, but if you take Cam Newton off the Panthers, they're in 0-14. And just his presence, I've loved his leadership and his growth. Like I say, he doesn't have sexy numbers, but he's finding a way to get that team to win. He really only has one target, and everybody knows it, and it's Greg Olsen. And yet Greg Olsen still is scoring touchdowns. Cam is still scoring touchdowns. I mean, I have to give credit where credit is due. I'm going to go with Cam Newton.
He's not old enough for that, JQ. Just telling you that.
Good call.
Yeah, you know, I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at what you said either, too, Rob. Good calls. I'm going to save some exciting stuff for the surprising team of the year. All right, let's talk about the offensive player of the year so far. So, JQ, any thoughts on this, or you want to start it with Rob?
It's Tom Brady. I'll make it quick. Tom Brady is 3-0, 9 touchdown passes, 370 yards a game passing. That is just ridiculous. I don't like him, but you can't argue with that. Offensive player of the year is Tom Brady.
I like Aaron Rodgers too, but go ahead, Rob. What do you think, sir?
I'm going to be repetitive. I hate to be repetitive, but I'm going to go 1A and 1B with the same two guys, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. The same thing I say with the MVP. So we won't have to stay too long on that.
I mean, you can't be wrong with that.
It's, you know, it looks like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers had something to do with Rob's Twitter account or something like that, but we'll talk about that a little later on. Gentlemen, we've got 10 minutes here. The most biggest, let's go with the defensive player of the year. What about you, Rob? What's your thoughts on this one?
I'm going to go with a guy you probably, you know, who's not, the national media is not saying a lot about, but I'm going to go with Josh Norman, Carolina Panthers. I think he's got four INTs already this season. And I think he's playing phenomenal. I saw him have an incredible interception against my Saints. The Saints were trying to get a touchdown to win the game at the end, and he you know, had a great interception, leaped up for it. And I think he's been playing phenomenal every week. And so I think, you know, and I know in our preseason rankings, I picked Carolina to win the division. I know it's going to be very interesting with them and the Falcons here going forward. But, you know, their defense is still right there. And as JQ mentioned, Cam Newton and Greg Olsen is playing outstanding. So, but Josh Norman is also a big part of their success thus far.
Not mad at that. JQ, what are your thoughts, sir?
He took my guy. I had Josh Norman. Nice. On top of that, he's scoring all the touchdowns that Cam's not. He has two pick sixes along with those interceptions that I've just talked about. I mean, if you look at the stats of what's happening and the impact on the team and the team's record, you know, it's J.J. Watt. He's a great player, absolutely.
Yep.
The Texans aren't any
yep.
good. You know, Carolina's 4-0, and he has two pick sixes and very crucial times to help them win two of those games. So I would go with Josh Norman as well. No need to, you know, hold on for too much longer repeating what Rob said. He's absolutely right. I go with Norman.
Good call. All right, we're going to talk about the biggest surprise team so far. I'm going to leave this off, guys, if you don't mind, and I'm going to go with my Falcons. And, you know, I don't really speak a lot. I mean, I try to keep, I try to keep the analyst hat off and the fan hat kind of separate. But I do got to say, guys, I'm surprised because I didn't think we were going to be here. The season's still young, obviously, you know, Lord knows, hopefully, you know, where everything's going to keep going. But just didn't expect the win to kind of go out this fast. We were kind of apprehensive, we knew what was going to happen. So give him credit, very impressed with Devontae Freeman. He's doing his thing, especially with the game plan kind of figured out against him. And Julio may have like 38 yards against the Texans, so it was just one of those things where we kind of showed all phases of the game, too. Very impressed with him. And also I'm impressed with Desmond Trufant. I know he's just – Josh Norman is playing out of his mind, so you got to give him that defensive player so far. But I think Desmond is definitely an up-and-coming, hopefully a Pro Bowl corner, you know, so I like where it's going with that, too. So, all right, JQ, I'll throw it to you, sir.
I'm right there with you. I picked Atlanta, and for the reasons you just said, but also having a rookie head coach. And I talked about this in the previews we did before the season started. I was worried about the offensive and defensive lines. Hey, Dan Quinn has coached up those trench guys. And that offensive line, you know, cobbling guys together right before the season started and at the beginning of the season. And that line is protecting Matt Ryan a whole lot better. Open up the holes for Devontae Freeman, like you just said. I'm going to go with the Falcons. I did not see them at 4-0. I'm happy they're 4-0, but I didn't see them at 4-0. So they have to be my biggest surprise.
Very surprising. Rob, what do you think about that, sir?
Well, as you know, I have to be objective, and it pains me to say it, but I have to agree with you guys. The Atlanta Falcons are definitely my pick is the most surprising team thus far as well, 4-0. I think they're doing an incredible job with the zone read as far as the run game is concerned with Devontae Freeman. He's doing a good job in that department. And obviously Matt Ryan is getting rid of the ball quickly to kind of offset some of their liabilities on the offensive line. So you got to give him a lot of credit. And he's definitely maturing as a leader. And you also got to give Dan Quinn a lot of credit. And also the rookie Vic Beasley as well. He's definitely performing, off to a good start too. So definitely they are definitely my surprising team as well.
Good call. But thanks, guys. It's good to – we were being very objective. I admit I wanted to get Todd Gurley because I thought he was the best player available. I know we needed a defensive player, so I'm actually happy the way everything transpired. So we'll call that it as it is. But good call, guys. I'm just saying I'm the best player available. But, you know, it's all good. 6 minutes, fellas. Let's talk about the biggest surprise player. JQ, what do you think about this one, sir?
Yeah, I think you know where I'm going with that right now. It doesn't have to be Andy Dalton. with the Bengals being 4-0 and with us having them as the second topic playing Seattle in a big game. I mean, this has been good, Andy, for 4 weeks, starting off in the black hole and going to Baltimore and then having Kansas City, who's not a bad team. Kansas City has a bad record because they played a good Cincinnati team and a good Denver team. So if they play two lesser teams, they might win those games. So I'm going to go with Andy Dalton. I mean, he has showed a lot of poise for the most part. I hope it keeps up, you know, as a Bengals fan and when the pressure is on. But for me, it's him. I did not see the Bengals at 4-0 either, the same way you didn't see the Falcons at 4-0. I did not see us at 4-0.
Wow. Good call. What about you, Rob? What do you think?
Biggest up. I'm trying to find my notes here. Go ahead with your pick, Andre.
I mean, I'm going to – I apologize. I'm not. I know we're trying to. I'm not going to be homers, but I'm going to go with Devontae Freeman again because same thing. Nobody expected what he did. He had those two back-to-back three rushing touchdowns. I think last time it was done, it was like 2007 with the Danian Tomlinson. So that's kind of one of those things too. So that's a surprising move because watching the preseason, I didn't think he was going to be the top back. I thought it was going to be Tevin Coleman. So I got to give a lot of kudos to him too. So. That's what I've got. Did you find any notes yet, Rob, if you will?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, mine was a little bit – mine was definitely a surprise. James Jones, I mean, this is a guy that a lot of teams have written off out of the league here last couple of years, and all of a sudden he's back with Aaron Rodgers, and he's catching touchdown passes every week, playing phenomenal. And you got to credit – obviously you got to credit Aaron Rodgers a little bit, but I think you still got to give James Jones his due as well. And I think he would be my pick as the biggest surprise. I mean, this is a guy that teams have given up on, and all of a sudden he's, you know, the Packers, and he's right back where he left off a few years ago.
That's a good call.
We got about 4 minutes. That's a good call. So we got about 4 minutes, sir. Can we talk about fantasy shout-outs and then kind of get ready to the OT portion? I know we got about 4 minutes. I want to get those fantasy shout-outs in. We'll talk about some disappointing players and teams. So go ahead with that, sir, if that's okay.
Fantasy shout-outs. All right. And league number one, the biggest win for this past week, Eagles Chick for Life. Christelle from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Yeah, we give a shout out to Albuquerque. She had the biggest win of the week over the Black and Gold Patrol, 135.38 to 57.40. Congrats to her. And still
in you,
first
Rob?
Place. No, I'm not the Black and Gold Patrol.
I was making sure.
No.
That's too far.
I would have gave myself a big thumbs down for that one. But and in first place, Bristol Bombers, Aaron from Bristol, Connecticut, still in first place at 4-0 in the American South Division. In league number two, EP 40 Miners from El Paso, Texas, Willie had the biggest win of the week over Kid Kev 23. 167.44 to 124.22. And also still in first place, this Pelly, same guy, Aaron from Bristol, Connecticut, 4-0 in the Southern Division. In league number three, my co-host, Andre, had the biggest win of the week. Andre's Rise Up Falcons over Saints Pelicans 23. 139.34 to 86.28. And in first place, winning 4-0, Aaron, same guy, Bristol, Connecticut, in first place in all three of our leagues, 4-0 in every league.
Wow.
Yeah, USA Division. So congrats to Aaron being in first place in all three of our leagues.
He's a Bill Belichick.
I had a
3-0
week.
What'd you say, Jakey?
I had a 3-0 week.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. What's up? He's like,
yes, sir.
He's under the radar. I like it, JQ. All right, Rob, go ahead and set up.
I had a 2-1 week in our league.
Yeah, I think I had 2-1 too. I think I was 2-1 too. All right, Rob, set up for the OT portion. We've got about a minute left, if you don't mind, sir.
We still got a lot of football we're going to get to, and NFL. Hopefully we can get to a little bit of college football as well here in our OT portion. If not, of course, we'll get to you some college coverage on next week. Stay tuned for our show for next week. It's to be determined on what night we'll get with my co-hosts here and see what night's going to work better for us. So definitely stay in tune to our Facebook account and also Twitter to which show, what night we're going to be airing. On next week. So we'll still have a lot to cover. We'll be covering Major League Baseball, still NFL, NBA training camp preseason is taking place, so there's a lot happening in the sports world, and we're going to try to get as much of it as possible to you. Make sure you like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and we will see you on next week. And, of course, click on the same link on tomorrow. You can get our OT portion as well. Good night, people.
JQ.
Stay classy, San Diego. 3-0. I'm coming back. You better be glad.
He's firing shots. I love it. All right, gentlemen, we're officially into the OT portion. That's what we do. All right, so we had some good talks about some surprise teams and players. Let's talk about some disappointing teams. So, and I do have to say, I know we shed a lot of love to the Falcons. I am surprised too at the Jets too. So that's my little thing too. But let's kind of kick it off, and some teams that are disappointing. And Rob, go ahead and kick it off with you, sir.
I'm going to start with the Detroit Lions. This is a playoff team from last year. They're 0-4. I know they got hit with a huge blunder in the Monday night game the other night. But this is a team, when you look at the talent of a Matthew Stafford, a Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate, and a slew of running backs as well. And, they're the team that's, to me, the most disappointing at this point at the 0-4 mark, especially a playoff team from last year.
JQ, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not going to beat that dead horse too much more. I'm going to go with the Miami Dolphins for all the reasons we stated earlier. And me and Rob are high on the Dolphins. They're 1-3. It does look like Tannehill is making the next step forward that he needs to be, especially with all the weapons he has. The running backs have been underwhelming for Miami, but still, the chaos they have happening, he's yelling at the practice players to enjoy your trophy. And Dominic Sue is showing up in sneakers for practice. I mean, that is a dumpster fire down there in Miami, and they had too much talent for that to be the case. I'm going to go with Miami.
Wow, I'm going to go a different direction, guys. I'm going to go with the Colts, man. I'm not sure what's happening with them. Obviously, Andrew Luck, he's been hurt there. But, we kind of same thing, guys. We thought they were going to come out the gates pretty strong. They kind of stumbled, so pretty surprising. I'm not an Eagles fan, but I would say that you'd kind of be disappointed in them as well, too, because they're supposed to start up pretty hot, too, and the same kind of thing with them, too. They're kind of stumbling out the gate. Rob, same thing about your Saints, sir. I didn't expect that as well, and I kind of added extras on that, too, but just didn't see that coming for sure in that vantage point, too. So I know I gave a little extra for that, too. Those are some teams that, I'm not sure about. I'm kind of disappointed in. I just got a text from
you. Ain't disappointed.
Somebody close to me.
You stop that.
No. This is what I say, right? I don't want any crap from Saints fans. I want to beat them to the best. You know what I'm saying? I want them to be like, oh, we got it down here. I want to beat y'all whenever y'all coming out. That's how I want, because that way it's kind of like, yeah, suck and beat you when y'all had your best team. You know. I'm getting flack from Cowboy fans talking about, Dez wasn't here and Tony Romo. Win is win. It's hard to win in the NFL. But
hey, you can't control that. You can't control who's not there, who's there.
You cannot.
Yeah,
I'm
just
telling you. I'd rather. I know. It's all good.
Don't pay me no mind.
Really quick.
I'm just a rival rouser. My bad.
You try to get me all. You try to get my blood pressure up. Hey, I was going to say, really quickly, I just got a text from somebody close to me, Rob, and she is saying that she's disappointed in the 49ers. So that's a whole other conversation all in itself, too. But we'll get to them in a quick second, too, because that's another dumpster fire, as you said earlier, too, JQ. Disappointing player. I know we're going this one. I'm going to go Sue, but I'm sure what do you guys got? I'm going to start with you, Rob.
I got Sue as well. It's part of, I think he's not living up to the contract he's got with the Dolphins. And I think that's part of the reasons where I know not we're dwelling on the Dolphins a lot. But Sue has not lived up to his expectation that he's had in years past with the Detroit Lions.
Go ahead, Rob. JQ, sorry.
Oh, no. You can go ahead and take it. We 3-for-3. It's got to be in Dominic Sue. I'm down on the Dolphins. As you can see, they've been terrible. It's Sue. Coach of the year.
I'm
going to
say outside. hold on really quick, JQ. Now, I like that. I'm also going to say another player that's disappointing and just not a good fit, and I would say that's, I'm going with this, DeMarco Murray. Came in, huge fanfare, and for whatever reason, either Chip Kelly or the offense, whatever, very, very disappointing right now with the Eagles. So that's another one. I know we're 3-for-3 with Sue, but that's another guy I think that's pretty disappointing as well, too. So He had high expectations. I'm sure Cowboys would love to have him back, you know, because, you know, I know Randall's doing this thing too, but you talk about that's just a perplexing move. So, anyway, that's me to say that. Coach of the Year, let's talk about that. JQ, on you, man.
My bad, don't yell at me. I was just messing with you. But that's a good call, though.
No, you're still good.
Michael Murray has sucked. He has sucked royally, and that Philadelphia team has been pretty bad. Yeah. It's got to be Dan Quinn. Let's keep dealing the Falcon love going. It's got to be Dan Quinn at 4-0 with nobody having him at 4-0, given the state of the union from last year and the many questions about the offensive and defensive line. I won't repeat it again. It's Dan Quinn.
Rob Ford.
I have Dan Quinn as well. I mean, obviously, no one had the Falcons being 4-0 at this stage of the season. And so, obviously, we talked about it being the biggest surprise, so he's got to be a big part of that. So it's Dan Quinn for me as well.
I was going to go Marvin Lewis for you, JQ. I'm just messing with you. Hey, yeah, we'll show some love here. We'll show some love. Guys, this is my favorite episode. I just got to tell you guys. I'm going to, like, earmark this episode for some reason, you know. But, you know, anyway.
Talking
let's keep moving. Assistant Coach of the Year, Rob Ford. What about this one, sir?
I'm going to go with Wade Phillips. You know, it's amazing. Every time Wade Phillips goes to a place, and typically in his first year, he gets that 3-4 defense cranked up. Denver is playing phenomenal defense. And you're always hearing about Peyton Manning and things of that nature. They lead the leagues in sacks. They got 18 sacks. Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, and that defense is teeing off on players, on quarterbacks, sorry. And Creed Tlaib is playing outstanding. Their entire defense is playing outstanding. You got to give them a lot of credit. And Wade Phillips, I mean, he disguises some of the best blitzing schemes from that 3-4 defense. He's been doing it for years, and I think you got to give him the credit. He's my assistant coach of the year thus far.
JQ.
So, Dre, we're going to stay on the Rocky Mountain High, and I'm going to go with
Kubiak.
Yeah.
Kubiak. Yeah.
Who he's going with?
Kubiak.
I got to go with Kubiak. Kubiak in Denver, the offensive coordinator. I'm going to go with him for assistant coach of the year.
Oh, he's a head coach.
No, he's the assistant. Oh, he is the head coach. Well, I messed up, so my bad.
That's all right.
We know what you were thinking. You are definitely on a Rocky Mountain High, JQ. Yeah, I'm just messing with you, sir.
I smoke weed every day.
No,
Colorado.
I was thinking of the fact that he put his offense out there, and he went to the pistol to give Peyton the shotgun without having to put him under center. That's why. But, yeah, I messed up. Forgot that he's the head coach. That's my bad. My bad.
We got you. We're all good. It's all good. I like Kyle Shanahan, what he's doing, man. Surprise, surprise, man. We got some balance offense.
Okay,
now.
I got
That's
one.
That's pretty impressive for us. Yeah, good.
I got one. I'm going to go homer. But Hugh Jackson with Andy Dalton, a surprise player at the Bengals at 4-0. Making a running game that's not doing a whole lot still be effective in terms of touchdowns and getting the best out of Andy Dalton and A.J. Green right now. So, Hugh Jackson for Cincinnati, offensive coordinator. It's 4-0.
Good call. All right, moving along. Let's talk about the coach on the hot seat. Guys, I'm going to start it off, and I'm going to go with Chip Kelly only because of, Joe Philbin would have taken that, but I'm going to go with Chip Kelly only because of the fact that so high expectations and what's happening with that squad. So that's me. I'll kick it to you, JQ. What are you thinking about, sir?
So, yeah, I knew that was going to be my choice. And, yes, America, I did know that he was the head coach this time around. I'm going to go with Chip Kelly as well. And when you make those bold personnel decisions and put yourself out there as the guy that knows what's going to happen and I can make this work for my system and then that 1-3, he's got to be on the hot seat because he won a tug of war, if you don't forget, in Philadelphia for personnel control. And when you have personnel control and you're the head coach and it doesn't start off and you make controversial moves like trading LeSean McCoy, for instance, it's going to come back to bite you if you start off bad. So it has to be Chip Kelly.
Wow. Rob Ford.
Well, we're in a complete agreement here. You know, we bashed the Eagles and Chip Kelly all offseason, the three of us combined. It's definitely Chip Kelly. And I'm going to make a bold prediction here as well. I'm going to predict Chip Kelly is coaching back in college next season. And I think he's back in college football next season.
Oh.
today is October the 7th. America, you've heard what Rob said, that Chip Kelly will be coaching in college next year. We're going to hold you this, Rob, so I'm just going to put a note about this too, sir. So just stay tuned about this, sir.
Now, we can go back to our last show right before the regular season, and I said this on our show, that I thought the Eagles' preseason offense was still a fluke once it got to the regular season. I still wasn't sold on it. Still wasn't sold on Sam Bradford either. And so far, I mean, I know the season is not over, but they're off to a 1-3 start. And a big part of their problem is their offense.
Wow. Unbelievable. Well, like you said, a lot of moves, and we'll see if Chip is kind of sealing his fate here. Okay. Offensive rookie of the year. I don't have stats, fellas, like Rob has, but I definitely like what Amari Cooper's been doing. That's me right now, but that's not really stat-wise. But I'm going to kick it to you, JQ. What do you think, sir, coming off the cuff here?
We must be simpatico today because Amari Cooper was my pick as well. He's given that Oakland pass game some legitimacy, and if you saw that catch last week, it was just phenomenal getting both feet down the back of the end zone. I think it's Amari Cooper, and he's elevating Carr's game. He's allowing Murray to get more running lanes for that offense, and I you still have Marshall Reese, who's just a PPR demon when they allow him to come out there and do what he does. And Oakland's 2-2, and they really should be 3-1. If you want to be honest, they should have won that game in Chicago. So I'm going to go with Amari Cooper and the resurgent Oakland Raiders.
Rob Ford.
We're 3-for-3 again. I mean, he leads all rookies in receptions with 24. He leads all rookies in yardage at 339. He's definitely been the most outstanding offensive rookie thus far.
Man, I'm calling it. I'm a fireball. Hey, all right, check this out. Defensive rookie of the year. I don't have a pick yet. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to pick last. Rob, starting with you. What do you think, sir?
I'm going to go with your guy, Vic Beasley. I know he's got 2 sacks in 4 games. I mean, it's modest, but, you know, if he stays on that kind of rate toward the season, it'd be 8 sacks for the season. You know, giving the Falcons a much-needed pass rush. He's probably the biggest pass rushing threat they've had since John Abraham left in 2013. And I would just say number 2, Marcus Peters, cornerback from Kansas City. He's having an outstanding rookie season as well. But those, I would go Beasley 1, Peters 2.
JQ.
So I need some help from Rob because I'm going to New Orleans. Is his last name Kihaha? Kikaha?
Oh, yeah.
You know
Ayoli Kikaha. Yeah. Now, he
there
actually has
nice.
4 sacks on the season. So, yeah, that's the one to think about, too. But they're on the 1-3 team, so I couldn't.
yeah. But, I mean, he's up there in sacks, and he's also up there in tackles. He's having him
yeah.
and Anthony, I think, have provided a nice backbone to that New Orleans defense. And he's got to solve some things on the perimeter, but up the middle, they're not terrible. So that's who I'm going to go for my defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah, good call.
Good call, guys. Man, I love it, gentlemen. All right, we're moving right along here. I'll go with Vic Beasley because I couldn't think of anybody at the top because I was trying to think about who's making an impact so far. That's what I'm looking at, too. But, yeah, all right. Let's talk about the comeback player of the year. Rob Ford, on you again, sir. What do you think?
Adrian Peterson.
Good call, good
That's
call.
Like,
yeah, good.
Yeah. Carson Palmer.
Carson Palmer, good call.
Carson,
all right.
That's a good call, yeah.
Having fun. All right, gentlemen, we got about 2 minutes here. Let's wrap this up. I know I wanted to – it sucks. I wanted to talk about Cardale, LSU, a lot of fun things here. Leonard Fournette, Heisman, easily. I think he's the second coming of Adrian Peterson, just a little
yeah.
FYI.
Yeah.
Cardale, is he wrong for Ohio State really quickly, JQ?
I think he's just having some growing pains because we put him on superstar level after 3 games, and now people have got tape on him. They're trying to make him do other things. I think he's running into a little bit of an issue, but they're still undefeated, so at this point you got to keep rolling with him. But, yeah, I think it's just catching up to him, the tape is.
Minute, Rob, anything you want to talk about, sir? On you, sir. What do you want to holler about?
Really quick, Utah over Cal, and what was the other college football game?
Northwestern at Michigan.
I like Michigan over Northwestern, and And amazing job by Jim Harbaugh so far with Michigan. They lost that game against Utah. We thought it was the end of the world, but Utah is looking like a pretty good team right now. So I don't think it looks so bad now. And, of course, Florida. That's another one I'm really surprised. I didn't think they would be this good this fast, too. And it should be interesting. And join us next week, people. Pay attention to our Facebook page and Twitter accounts. We'll be getting some information on our show for next week. A lot happening in the sports world. We're going to make sure we cover it for you.